Today's staff is Kaf Aleph. We're going to start, we're going to just make some reference to yesterday's staff because I feel it was a daf that couldn't really go without addressing. Okay, yesterday's staff talked a lot about all sorts of issues that go on in the bedroom and what's allowed and what's not allowed. So one question that came up before class was, how could the rabbis be discussing this type of stuff? And I'd have to think the opposite. I think that it's impressive to me that the rabbis discussed this stuff and talked about what's mutar and what's asur in the bedroom, because as most of you know, where are you supposed to learn this from? You're not going to learn it from, right? It goes back to that Gemara about the rabbi who slept under the bed of the other rabbi, you know, and I need to know what to do. And it's a very, very important daf, because what it shows you is, first of all, you have this opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Dehavai, who in a very unpleasant manner talks about how, you know, you get disabled children and it's from inappropriateness in the bedroom. On the other hand, you see the fact that the halacha is not like him, and the halacha in the end is, you know, whatever kol ma she'adam rotzeh la'aseh b'ishto oseh. Now, it's a little bit how you take this phrase, right? I think on the one hand, oh, it means you can do whatever you want, which on the one hand could be encouraging, on the one hand could be, what do you mean? The guy can do whatever he wants? Where's the woman's role in this? And that's where, beneath the surface of this stuff, for sure, I'm trying to remember if it actually says it explicitly, but there's this issue, certainly the Mefarshim bring it up in the context of this daf, about, it's a really, really important daf when it comes to, you know, learning about what's allowed and what's not allowed in sexual relationships. And it talks about that if it's okay for the woman, then certain things are allowed. In other words, as long as it's okay with her. And that there's a whole element, which I think is incredibly radical for people of, you know, any generation preceding the last, you know, number of generations, for people to consider the woman's interest in agreement, you know, her willingness. In other words, you can do this if it's okay with her. In other words, taking her opinion into consideration.
This is also the first, you know, even in America until not all that long ago, it was legal to rape your wife, but here it says specifically you can't, may not do that. It's radical, right, as far as every other culture.
Exactly. And that's what I think is really interesting about this stuff and needs addressing. So again, we're not going to learn the whole thing inside, but I wanted to just, you know, if anyone wants to ask me afterwards more questions about it, but that for me is a very critical daf about the woman's role and the woman's consent. And, you know, even the end where it talked about that a woman shouldn't ask her husband to have sex with her, right? And then they said, well, what about Leah? And then they come to some sort of, you know, compromise, where you even see that it's okay for the woman to initiate, you know, which again, nowadays should be muvan me'elav, but in those days, not so much so. So I'll leave the daf at that, but I wanted to just kind of address it as this is the daf, by the way, if you're going to teach sexual relations, this is where it all comes from. What's asur, what's mutar? I mean, there's a few other dapim and there's a few other sugyot, but this is a major one in terms of, is oral sex mutar for the man to perform on the woman? You know, that's all the Rabbi Yochanan ben Dehavai who says it's asur, but then the rabbis say it's no problem. And can you look at a woman in that place? You know, and yes, there's difference of opinion. And if you look in the Shulchan Aruch and you read his approach to having sex, it's very different than we all would think. I mean, he says, you know, go in, get your mitzvah done, and leave. And, you know, do it. Don't talk to your wife. Don't. And, you know, he basically postulates like Yochanan ben Dehavai. I mean, everything is asur, basically, short of the act itself, you know, which has to be done because of Puri Rivya. And that's the Shulchan Aruch's approach to it. So it's not to say that there aren't different approaches. There's different approaches within Judaism. But the fact that the Gemara postulates here, you know, they say, Ein halacha k'rav Yochanan ben Dehavai, seems to imply that, you know, the psak, the mainstream psak in this case should be more on the lenient side. So I think that's one point. And the second point is about the woman's consent, which is, I think, a very important part here. Okay, which again, like I said, is very radical for their time. Okay, and that ends the second parak. So with that, we're going to start the third parak. Arba'a nedarim hitiru chachamim. Nidrei zeruzin, v'nidrei havai, v'nidrei shkago, v'nidrei onsin. Okay, these are four different categories of nidarim that the chachamim were matir. Okay, one is nidrei zeruzin. Nidrei zeruzin we're going to see in a minute, so I'm going to pass over for the second. Nidrei havai Okay, those are exaggerated nidarim, okay, where you say a total exaggeration, which you never really meant, okay, like we say to our kids all the time, or I don't, you know, things like that. Nidresh shkagot, okay, you said it by accident, or you weren't mekayemet by accident. Okay, some sort of accident. V'nidre onsin, right, onus is more than shkaga. Sometimes someone forces you, or you really, you know, shkaga is like you could have prevented it, but you didn't, and onus is you really had, it was totally beyond your control. You have to wonder why they need to mention ones if they already mentioned shkaga. In other words, if shkaga doesn't work, obviously ones, but okay. Right, like they say here in the commentary, they say it could be he depended it upon something happening which he didn't expect to ever happen, and then somehow, you know, out of nowhere, that thing actually happened. Okay, so all these nidarim, hitiru chachamim. We're going to get to this in a little bit. What does it mean, hitiru chachamim? You don't need to do a sheila chacham, or, you know, they're nothing, or do you need to do something? Like, we're going to see what this is exactly. Nidre zeruzin, ketzad. Haya mocher chefetz, va'amar, konam she'eni pochet lecha min ha'sela. V'hala omer, konam she'eni mosif lecha ala shekel. Okay, we need a little background again. Shekel is 2 dinarim, okay? Dinarim. And a sela is 4 dinarim, okay? So one guy says, I'm not going to sell it to you for less than 4. And the other guy, and if I do, this will be forbidden to me if I give you a price less than 4. And the other guy says, I'm not going to sell it, I'm not going to buy it from you for more than 2. Okay? So now, what's the situation here? Did they really mean what they said, right? In other words, what are they doing? This is negotiation. They're using konam she'eni this, right? They're using the lashon of a neder. But that's called nidre zeruzin, okay? In the Quran, they translate it as extortion, okay? You're basically trying to get money from the other guy, right? And you're using this. So what does the Gemara say? Shnehem rotzim b'shlosha dinarim. Clearly, they were both intending to get to 3. Just one was raising his price and one was lowering his price, right? So that eventually they'd agreed on 3, and therefore this neder does not count as anything, really. Okay? So we'll get into it more in the Gemara. Gemara. Arba'a nedarim hitiru chachamim v'chulei. Amrle Rabbi Abba bar Mama le Rabbi Ami. Amart la mishmeja Rabbi Yehuda Nisiya. Okay, it was told to Amart la, I said it, I guess, or I'm trying to remember. Amart, what?
Rabbi Abba said to Rabbi Ami.
Amart la, what's the Amart la? Amart la.
Who said to us in the name of?
Who said? You said to us?
Yes.
Okay, fine. So Rabbi Amar bar Mama said to Rabbi Ami that you said to us, mishmeja Rabbi Yehuda Nisiya. You said to us in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Remember Rabbi Yehuda Nasi? He's the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Okay? That they call him Nasi. He was a Nasi also. But if they called him Hanasi, you would confuse them. So they called him Nasi. Man tana arba'a nedarim. Rabbi Yehuda he. Who's the one who says arba'a nedarim? Who's the tana of this Mishnah? It's Rabbi Yehuda. Da'amar Rabbi Shum Rabbi Tarfon. It's Rabbi Yehuda who quoted Rabbi Tarfon. Remember this source? Lo'olam ein echa meham nazir lefi shelo nitna nazirut ela lahafla. It only works when you make a statement that's conclusive and not something that's dependent on a condition being fulfilled. Okay? Particularly, they're not really talking about the other 3 categories. They're really talking about the nidre zeruzin, right? Because the nidre zeruzin is the only one that's conditioned upon something. Although it could be the onus, we said, could be conditioned on something and then it never happens, or the shkaga also. But anyway, what are they saying? That when Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rabbi Tarfon that when you become a Nezir, you have to make a complete statement of Nezirut, right? You have to say, I'm going to be a Nezir. You can't say, if this happens, I will be a Nezir. There's no such thing. So what do they do? That when we learned this, we said it was specific by Nezirut. Now he's saying this applies also to Nidarim. So therefore, this guy said, if you sell it to me, right, if you buy it from me for less than 4 sla'im, then it will be a neder. Any time it's root, that doesn't work. Okay? Now, Rava Amar, Afilu Tema Rabbanan, you could even say this is according to Rabbanan. Why? Here he has an interesting explanation. Mi katane, does it say in the Mishnah, Shnehem Ratzu? No, it doesn't say that. It says Shnehem Rotzim Katane. What does that mean? What's the difference whether you say at the end of the Mishnah, Shnehem rotzim b'shlosha dinarim or Shnehem ratzu b'shlosha dinarim? Okay? If you say Shnehem ratzu b'shlosha dinarim, you say that in the end, one second, right, if you say Shnehem Ratzu B'Shlosha Dinarin, you're basically saying in the end, what happens? This guy really wanted four, and that guy really wanted two, but in the end they agreed on three. Okay? But what's and that would be Lo Nitznazu El Afla, because no one really knew what the outcome was going to be. This one was hoping it would be four, that one was hoping it would be two. In the end, they concluded on three, and it's no good. But what does he say? It says Shnehem Rotzim. Rotzim means from the beginning all they wanted was three. It was just a negotiating tactic to get the other guy to pay either more or less, right? So therefore, what's he saying? From the beginning, they only wanted three, which means that their neder never had mashmaut, because nobody ever intended two or four. The whole intent from the beginning, and that's why it says Shnehem Rutsi. So therefore, he says, you don't only have to say the mishnah according to Rabbi Yehuda and the name of Rabbi Tarfon. It's really Tanakam Chachamim also. Okay? And it doesn't have to do with this Lilin Nazirut El Afla. It has to do with the fact that they never intended what they were saying. It wasn't like, oh, well, they said it depends on a certain condition. It's just blanket, you know, this isn't even what we want. Okay, by the way, there's a machloket. What happens if in the end, right, the Mishnah seems to imply that in the end they're going to sell it for three. But what if in the end they sell it for four? Let's say. So now, do we say at this point the neder is the other guy's neder is fulfilled? Right? Because they didn't get to three in the end. Right? And he didn't get anywhere. And he said, I swear I'm not going to pay you more than two. And then he, right? It didn't help him budge. And so there's actually a machloket. Some people say, no, we really intend, kind of like this is the opinion of Rabbi. He never really meant what he was saying, and therefore, no matter what, it's not an edger. Some people say no, since they didn't end up negotiating down to three, his nedder is actually a good nedder, and he has to keep it. So there's a machloket about that.
It's like the case with the t'nai before the nedder. If I don't sleep today, I will sleep tomorrow. If I don't get to three,
right?
It sort of has some flavor of that.
It's similar, but it's right
it's
there.
Exactly,
it was more right. It's
it
different.
Is, there is a flavor of it
of conditioned on something, right?
And if tonight work goes this way, then
right. But there, he really meant to say what he was saying. Here,
correct.
That's the difference. Here we don't know. Did he really mean it or not? It's like we talked about with gambling. Right? Do you ever really mean that you're going to give your money over to the guy at the casino? No, like you're hoping to win money. And the casino's never really planning to give you money because their whole, right, maybe you know you're going in, maybe you'll lose, maybe you'll win. But the casino certainly is planning to win, otherwise they wouldn't be a casino. So they never intend to give their money over to you, so maybe there's not a good kinyan because they weren't ever intending it. Now, with kinyan, you could say it's a little different than here with neder, and this is what we're going to get into this paragraph, all about your intention. What did you intend, and how important is your intention in the fulfillment of the neder? Okay. Amar le Ravina le Rav Ashi. Amar le Ravina le Rav Ashi. Amar lo tfei misela, vahala omer bitzir mishekel, nidra have o zeruzin have. Okay, what do they say here? What's his question? Ravina asked Rav Ashi, I understand if you're talking about four and two, and obviously in the end they all wanted three. But what if, and here there's going to be two ways to understand this question. What if he said, I want two and an eighth of a shekel, right? I'm not going to give you, Betzir is less than, right? He says, I will not give you more than one and seven-eighths of a shekel, okay? And the other guy says, right, Amalo tfei misela, right? He says, I'm not going to give you less than four and an eighth of a sela. Okay? So now the question is, one way of looking at this is, was he so particular in the amount that he gave, right? He was medakadek, right? Usually you say four, two, round numbers. Here he gave such a particular amount, right? Whether it's one eighth or whatever it might be, that maybe he really meant, I'm giving you exactly this, right? If I say I'm giving you three shekels and 75 agurot, right? Why would I say 75 agurot if I weren't really meaning 75 agurot? So that's one way of understanding it. Another way of understanding it is just if they're maybe more distant from each other than the two and the four. Two and the four, clearly, they're not so far off from each other, they're obviously going to end up at three. But what if one's less than a shekel and one's more than four? You know, it's not clear how much more, right? Maybe a lot more, a little more. Yeah, then already, what's the situation going to be? So Amar Le, Tanina, he says, let's learn it from this Makor Tanai. Hayam Sarev B'chavero She'yochal Etzlo. His friend didn't want to come to his house to eat. Okay, right? This happened to invite someone for Shabbos lunch. You invite them a million times and they keep saying, no, 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 I'm not going to come. V'amar lo, konam beitcha sha'ani nichnas. Tipat zonen sha'ani to'en. Okay, you say, so the guy who keeps bothering him, right? The guy who keeps saying no says, I'm taking a neder that I will not come into your house. Okay, not only will I not eat Shabbos lunch at your house, but I'm not even coming into your house. And I will not drink a drop of cold water, right? You see here, right? Hot is always, people like to give you hot drinks. That's always a nicer thing, right? He's giving the most basic thing. Won't even drink cold, a drop of cold in your house. Mutar likanes lebeito lishtot himenet sonin. Okay, he's allowed to, number one, go into the guy's house, and he's allowed to drink cold water. Why? I don't know if it's cold water, but a cold drink. Why? Shelonit kaven ze ela lishum achila ushtia. Okay? What does that mean? He didn't really mean what he was saying. He was saying it in the extreme. But what he really meant is, I'm not coming for lunch. Right? I'm not going to eat in your house. Okay? So what do you see here? The evil people in Midayek, in very, right, say, I'm not even going to drink a bit of cold water, right? We still treat it as, that wasn't really what he meant. So same thing here. If he says 1 7/8, that still wasn't really what he meant. And it's going to be, you know, we're going to assume it's your typical Nidre Zevusim. So then they say, Vamai, Hati Patsanen Kama, right? Didn't he say, okay, so, right, Ela Mishtai Inish Hachi. Sorry, so now they're explaining, you know, I didn't read the whole thing. First they say, Amai Hati Patsonen Kamar. And that's, how could he do that? He said, I'm not going to even drink a bit of cold water. So what do they say? Ela Mishtai Inish Hachi. Hachanami Mishtai Inish Hachi. This is the way people talk. In other words, it's clear what he meant. Okay? And therefore, we can say the same thing by us, that it's clear what he meant. Right? And therefore, our case, the assumption is that he still meant, I'll pay three. Right? He was still trying to negotiate to that three, and therefore it's going to be a typical case of Nidre Zevusim. Amarlei, midame. Wait a minute. He said, but, right, Ravina asked Rav Ashi this question. Rav Ashi answered him. And now Ravina is saying, but wait a minute, you're comparing two things that are not similar. Midame. Why not? Gabet sonen, sadikim omrim ma'at ve'osin harbe. Okay, when it comes to hachnasat orchim, right? So the guy really wanted him to come eat. So he said, I'm not going to eat a little, because he knew that if he ate a little, the guy was going to give him a lot. And there's no such thing as eating a little. And that's what he meant when he said it. But hacha sveikahu. But in our case, we don't know what he meant. Dilma pacho misela v'yoter al shekel kamar v'zeruzin have, o dilma dafka kamar v'nidra have. Now, in the end, what do they say? When it comes to the, I will not drink a single bit in your house, it was clear that all he was trying to say was, I'm not going to eat in your house. Because he knew that if he drinks a little bit, then the guy will be moshech oto to drink more. And therefore, really what he meant was, he didn't mean the drop of water he was going to drink. So if he drinks a drop of water, it doesn't mean anything. Because really, he meant something else. But in this case, we don't really know. We're still misupak. Did he mean 1 7/8 specifically? I will not move from this price. And that's why he gave such a specific amount. Or did he mean just the three, which in the end would be the same as the food situation? Okay? So we don't really know how to treat it. And the Gemara ends like we saw the other sugya tibai. We don't know the answer. Okay? So basically what the Gemara did was, they brought this category of Nidre Zevusim. The first thing they did was try to figure out, who does it match, whose opinion? Is it just Rabbi Yehuda b'shem Rabbi Tarfon, who says, Lo nitzna lezurut el hafla'a, and it has to be a complete statement that you make, not based on any sort of condition or anything happening? Or do we say, no, this really is a regular, you know, this is according to everybody's opinion. And even Chachamim would say, in this particular case, it's just clear what his intent was. Just like we're saying now with the food. It was clear what his intent was, right? And that's why it was clear he never meant two or four, right? Each guy, nobody meant two or four. Just like with the food. Nobody meant, he didn't mean tipatzonein, or he didn't mean I'm not going to walk set foot in your house. What he meant was, I'm not going to eat in your house. And since he didn't say what he meant, that's not a neder, right? You follow? It's what's interesting about this is, in the end, it's like the flip. Because if you... He didn't say what he actually meant. If he had said what he actually meant, then it would actually count. But here, what do you have? It's a person who's using a neder to kind of say something else, right? They're using a lashon of a neder in the extreme to end up coming to a middle ground, right? And therefore, the neder was never a neder in the first place, because what he said was not really what he meant. And then the question just becomes, and they bring some extreme case, or, you know, a little variation of the case given, and they want to know, well, would this mean he really meant what he said? Otherwise, why would he be so specific? Or are we just saying, no, he's just starting at a different bargaining price? But in the end, he was really going to get up to 3, and we don't really know the answer to that. Okay, now we're going to talk about when we started the Mishnah, it said, Arba'ana Darim Hitiru Chachamim. So now we're going to start learning about what does it mean, Hitiru Chachamim? And what are the different levels of She'elat Chacham? When you go to a Chacham, what are possibilities of what you have to do? So, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Asi. Okay, Rav Yehuda passes down in the name of Rav Asi. Arba'ana Darim Halalu Tzrichim She'elat Lachacham. You still have to go to a Chacham to be Shoel on your neder. So, Ki Amarita Kamei Shmuel, when I brought this, Rav Yehuda is saying, when I came and brought Rav Asi's statement in front of Shmuel, and I told him this halacha, Amar, Tana, it says in the Mishnah, Tana Tanei, the Tana teaches, Arba'ana Darim Hitiru Chachamim. Va'at Amar Tzrichin She'elat Lachacham. Right? How could you say it needs she'elat chacham if hitiru chachamim? Hitiru chachamim sounds like they're nothing. Rav Yosef matna lahashmata b'hai lishna. Okay, now Rav Yosef had a different way of explaining this, how this came about, this discussion. Amar Yudah Mar Rav Asi, ein chacham rashai lahatir, ela ke'ein arba'a nedarim halalu. Okay, a chacham can only be matir these 4 types of nedarim. So now what do they say? We can assume from here that Kasavar, he holds, Ein Potchim B'charata. Okay, what does this mean, Ein Potchim B'charata? Okay, it's not so clear. It's not so clear the Mefarshim either. Okay, we're going to see some different opinions here. What is Charata? Charata is regret, right? So one of the stages of coming to a Chacham is to say, I'm sorry I made this neder, right? I never really meant to do it. Okay? Or let's put it this way. Let's make it simpler. I'm sorry. I feel bad I made this neder. I don't want to keep it. Okay? Then, that's one stage, charata. Another stage is what we call potchim lo petach, right? And then there's potchim lo petach mimakom acher. There's different stages. Mimakom acher means like from out of the blue. Like we try to say, oh, well, had you known blah, 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 you know, you never would have made this neder. There's a difference between saying, I'm sorry I made the neder, that had I realized this, I never would have made it. Now, you could say there's a fine line between that, because I'm sorry means, had I realized I would get to this stage, I never would have done it. But there's like a little bit of a jump to say, you know, had I had more information in front of me, I never would have made it, or I just made a mistake, right? Like I did something and I regret that I did it. So now, what does it mean, ein potchim b'charata? So the Mefarshim explain, what does this mean? It means if you go to a Chacham and say, I want to be matir of the neder, is the Chacham allowed to start asking you, are you sorry that you did this neder? Or does he have to wait till you say, I regret that I did the neder? Or is he allowed to be potech b'charata? So what they're saying here is, he must hold, the chacham is not allowed to be potech b'charata in a regular case. Okay? And that's why only in these 4 nedarim is he allowed to, but otherwise, okay, so one explanation is if you go to a chacham, he can't go and ask you, do you regret what you did? You have to initiate that line. Okay? That's one explanation. The problem with that explanation is obvious, which is, why else would you be coming if you didn't regret making your neder, right? Obviously, if you're coming to do a she'elat chacham, you obviously regret your neder. So Tosfos and the Ran explain that what this means is charata is not enough, okay? In other words, you need more, you can't use charata, now use the word lashon potchim in a different way, as a petach, right? When you make a petach and you say, oh, you know, I obviously had a different intent in mind, you can't use regret as your petach. You need a better explanation as to why you made the vow on some mistaken premise. You need to explain there was some mistake in what I thought when I was doing it, and you need that, okay? That it's not enough just to say, I'm sorry I did it, but that you have to do more than that, okay? And that's the difference between these arba'a nidarim and the rest of the nidarim. That other nidarim need this petach, whereas arba nidarim, it seems it's enough to just have regret. Now we're going to have some cases. Hahu da'ata l'kame de Rav Huna. Amale libcha alach. Hey, this goes to show, by the way, you can be potchim b'charata, right? He says, is your heart still with it? Like, do you really intend to still do this neder? Or have you changed your mind? Yeah, like we say, have you had a change of heart? Yeah, that's really what they're saying. Amale lo. He says, no, my heart's not in it. Bisharia. And he matured it. So here you see that this opinion is you can be potchim b'charata. Hahu da'ata l'kamei de Rabba bar Rav Huna. Okay, now in front of Rabba Rav Huna they came. And now you tell me, is this the same or different? Amar lei, ilu hayu asara b'nei adam shifaisu chabo, ta sha'a mina dart. Okay, what does this mean? I assume what this means is, right, why do you make a neder? Because you're angry about something, and we're going to get to this soon. That there's going to, right, the whole element of nedarim generally comes from a place of anger. So if there were 10 people that could have calmed you down at that moment, would you have made this neder? So he says, Amar le, lo, v'hi tiru. Now, is that the same as potchim b'charata or not? Right? It sounds like it's more. It sounds like this is potchim lo pesach b'makom acher. In other words, had you been in that moment of anger where you made that neder and 10 people would have been there and they would have calmed you down, would you have made the neder? And the guy says, no, that's potchim lo pesach b'makom acher. So it seems like, according to Rabbi Rav Huna, you needed more than just potchim b'charata. Okay, it seems like there's a machloket here between. There's actually a machloket among the mafreshim about whether this is potchim b'charata or this is potchim lo pesach mimakom acher. Okay, so it's unclear. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Omrim lo la'adam lev ze alecha. Okay, you say to a person. Here's a Tana Idik source. Okay, until now we were looking at a Moraim. Rabbi Yehuda says you say to the guy, is your heart still with it? Im amar le lav mitirim oto. Okay, so that seems to be potchim b'charata. But Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Omer Mishum Aviv, Omrim lo la'adam ilu hayu asara b'nei adam shepaisucha ba'ota sha'an min adart. Im amar lav mitirim oto. Okay, so here they're showing that it's a makor, that's a machloket tana'im, really. Okay, whether you need to say this nusach or that nusach. And then the question is it just a matter of semantics, or is it more, which seems to be more convincing, that it's a matter of one is potchim b'charata, and one says, no, in potchim b'charata, but you can be potchim lo petach mimakom acher. Okay, now we're going to see some cases. Hahu da'ata l'kamed Rabbi Asher, there's going to be a lot of stories in the next while, all sorts of situations where people get themselves into nedarim situations. Hahu da'ata l'kamed Rabbi Asher. Amar le kidu tahit, okay, which is, do you regret what you did? Amar le, lo. Okay, this is clearly the guy's being sarcastic. What? I don't? Like, what do you think? I'm in front of you. What do you think I'm doing here? Visharya. Okay, and he mantered it. That's why it can't possibly be that he said, no, I don't. I don't regret it. And then the guy mantras it, right? It has to be. Okay? Hauda atzel l'kamej Rabbi Elazar. Amar le, bayit nador. Did you really want to take this neder? Amar le, ilu lo margizin li lo be'inan klum. Okay, if people hadn't gotten me angry, this is a great, right? People always blame other people, right? If they hadn't gotten me angry, I wouldn't have done anything. Amar le, tehe kibayit. Okay, it should be like you want, okay? Meaning it's not a neder anymore. Hahi itita. Okay, a woman came. Da'adarte labarte. She made a neder against her daughter. Basically, she said, this is an interesting one, you'll like this, or I don't know, maybe not. She said, my daughter, to her daughter, right? She got angry, got into a fight with her daughter, and she said to her daughter, I'm not letting you get any benefit from me, right? Not taking you shopping anymore, I'm not, right? Something like that. Atala kameja Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, she comes in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Obviously, she wants to get rid of the neder. It's not a good neder to make your daughter not get any hana from you. Amar la, ilu hava yadata amran migirtech ala debartech. Okay, I'll stop here for a minute just to explain. Had, even though I'm mid-sentence, had you known, okay, migirtech is from gar, your neighbors. Had you known that your neighbors, right, what always gets to the women, right, what their neighbors are going to say. Had you known that your neighbors would say ala debartech about your daughter, ilu lo chamat ba'ime milin da'aziva, bichdi lo adarte. If her mother hadn't seen all these inappropriate things about her, she never would have taken a neder. Do you want your neighbors talking about you? If you knew that your neighbors were going to say, had this girl not gone off the right, gone off the track, you know, and she's like in some other, you know, doing terrible things, then the mother never would have taken a neder against her. Okay, in other words, meaning that. Right? Had you known that by making this neder, you were going to attract attention to yourself and your family, and that people were going to start talking about you on the streets and about your daughter and about the inappropriate things that she did, would you ever have taken that neder? Right? Like, would you hang out your dirty laundry outside? Right? In your own house, it's one thing, but would you be happy with what your neighbors said? So, Amar Lei Lo Bisharya. Okay? So basically, he allowed it. Okay? This was, again, it's a little, you know.
If they're going to talk, it's going to be about the daughter's behavior to begin with, not about the mother's neder on the daughter's behavior.
No, but what could have happened was that because the mother took the neder, it made it much more public. In other words, it's like airing out your dirty laundry. In other words, she made it into a bigger thing that now people heard about it. Because now people are talking, oh, look, the mother you know, was madhu, that, right, it was that bad, but look what happened. You can imagine this going on, right?
Yeah.
So basically, that was his way of getting a petach. First of all, you see here that they didn't want to just some give a petach. Like, some cases they did. Like, you know, if 10 people could have calmed you down, we do not have done it. That's like a very basic one. And that's why that one actually is a machloket. Is it charata or is it really a petach? This rabbi really tried to find a better petach. In other words, he wanted to really get into her mind and say, well, had you thought about all the ramifications of what you were doing, and this is one of them, would you have done your neder? And then she says, no, I wouldn't have. And so the question is, yeah, how far do you have to go? And I'm sure there were different, and maybe this is why we're getting stories about it. There were all different approaches about how far you have to go to be poteach petach, and, you know, how serious you have to take this poteach petach. And then obviously it's going to be a situation of maybe there's situations where you can't find a petach, so then you'll deal with a more basic one. But in this case with the woman, it was pretty obvious to find this kind of a petach, so he went that direction. Because if you can make it much more real, it's sort of like tshuva and harata, right? It's an issue of how sincere is your regret, right? Like, if you're going to do harata, and then, you know, the next day you're going to go sin again, like, you obviously didn't really mean it when you said, I'm sorry. So the question is, here also, when you want a matir and neder and you need the charata and you need some sort of a petach, like, how, you know, how much do we want to go, you know, on the one hand we want to go lekratcha, on the other hand we want to see that you're serious. So, you know, we have to pick a serious kind of petach if we have an option to do that, because we don't want to make a joke of it and, oh yeah, and then tomorrow you'll get angry and you'll make another neder. So, on the other hand, we don't want to make it too complicated, because we don't want to get people into situations where they made nederim and swore their children off of, you know, and got themselves into these sticky situations. So it's a constant balance between trying to, and that's really what the issues are here, trying to figure out how to, on the one hand, open it, on the other hand, you know, not make it parutz that everyone can just do whatever they want. Yeah.
Just to raise it, it's a way of making her think twice the next time.
Right, right. That's
or
the
other. Anybody.
Exactly.
It's framing it in a way that will be memorable.
Right. I forgot to mention, actually, now that you're mentioning it, there's a whole machloket here about who needs this she'ela. Like, when we talk about she'ela, is it only Amei Ha'aretz and not Talmidei Chachamim? Is it that the neder is really not a neder, but you still need to do some certain, as we saw this before, these people,
exactly,
that even though Hitiru Chachamim, they still need she'ela. The question is, is it everybody needs she'ela? Or is it just Amei Ha'aretz that needs she'ela? Or is it, right, and not Talmidei Chachamim, because we're not really worried they're going to do this again? Or, and then again, you know, big question, maybe that's where Shoshana started today before class. You were talking about it in the sexual aspect, but the rabbis aren't always, just because they're Talmidei Chachamim doesn't mean that they're perfect people in terms of their Yachas Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. We've seen that with Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, right? We see it, unfortunately, in our daily life, that just because they're a Talmidei Chacham, you know, so one approach is to say, Talmidei Chachamim, they're always in a different category. Another approach is to say, you know, maybe for certain things, like, for example, there's this, we've learned this, I think, about a chaver, which is, right, they always call them chaver or ama aretz. So a chaver doesn't need a warning before he does an avera. Like, if you do an avera, in order to get punished, you need to be warned. Someone needs to say, do you know that if you do this, you'll get this punishment? And you have to say, yes, and I don't care, and you do it anyway. But a Talmid Chacham doesn't need a warning. And that makes sense, because Talmid Chacham, I think it's safe to assume that Talmid Chacham generally will know the halacha. Now, it's part of Hatra'a, is so that you make sure the people actually know the halacha. But when it comes to something like this, you could say, just because someone's a Talmid Chacham doesn't mean they don't get angry, doesn't mean they don't say silly things when they get angry and get themselves into sticky situations. So part of the explanation here is that, yes, you might have been using this as a negotiating tactic, and yet, yes, you didn't really mean it, but we still want to prevent you from doing this. So you still have to go do a She'ela Chacham. Maybe a lesser level of a She'ela Chacham, but you still need to do a She'ela Chacham. And then the question is going to be, does that apply to everyone? Does it apply only to Amei Ha'aretz and not to Talmidei Chachamim? Because they're the ones that we're trying to prevent. And we, you know, do you think the rabbis are held to a higher standard? Or again, maybe not. Maybe, you know, they're just as susceptible to this as anyone else.
They were giving these annulments. So how does that rationalize with...
Wait, say that again? The
Friday's Mishnah.
Yeah.
The Friday's Bach, right? So
yeah.
I thought there were all these stories of how they were excommunicating the Beis Din, even, who were giving annulments of nedarim.
Where were the annulments? Why am I forgetting them?
Hold on, I'll see if I can find the.
Right, well, first of all, the Mishnah on Shabbos was talking also. You know, we didn't talk about this, but Chachamim omrim potchim lam petach mimakom acher umelamdim otam kedei shelo yinagu kalut rosh b'nedarim. Right, they were trying
sorry,
to teach them that it was Shabbos'
okay,
stuff.
Yeah,
right,
right, so, okay,
right.
So I got confused. Sorry.
Right,
so,
but the Beit Din. Oh, I'm forgetting about the Beit Din Mishnah.
Here, Rabbi Acha bar
Right, im nishalu onshim lo tanu machmirim aleihem. Right, that's the Mishnah. Right, konamishin enele shalu. Right, that was the whole thing. Konamishin enele in the Mishnah. Va'amar lo nadarti elabishti arishona shegerashti. Al kulam einishalim lehem. Ve'im nishalu onshim lo tanu machmirim aleihem. Diber Rabbi Meir. That was his approach. Right, that was his approach. We generally go by the Chachamim's approach, though, which is potrim lam petach umelamdim oto kedei shelo yinagu kalu b'rosh b'nidarim. So, right. This is when I was thinking about this at the end of class. I was really thinking about this sugya here, about the beginning of the sugya there, which is, you know, Rabbi Yehuda says, "V'kulan ein tzrichim sheila, but b'med v'ayim rumi tamli chacham, avav ba'am arat shabal lishol and shimoto machmirim aleihem."
But then here, Amar Rabbi Yosef in the middle of Chaf Amar Aleph.
Yeah. Amar Rabbi Yosef,
lo
ba'amar Rabban
Adin is right.
Right.
Tina din is that whatever lo avi shafir.
Right. And Misham Tina
and
then.
Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov and Tzinis. Right.
Right.
So it's just there's a whole different.
Right. There's different approaches about how to treat this.
And it's amazing that it's just the following Mishnah. Like there's a clear machloket tonight. Forget right. That.
Right. Right. Now these are talking about actual nedarim.
Right.
And our Mishnah, that's the whole thing, that this is all gradations.
Okay.
There's that Mishnah, and then there's, you know, where you make an actual neder, and then there's our Mishnah, where you make a not real, right, you're just using a neder, a lashon of a neder to make a statement. And there we're obviously going to be more mekel with you about the sheila. That's the whole thing. And then in these cases, we're going to be more machmir about it, and you have to come up with something much more serious.
Okay.
Right.
Got it.
Yeah. Okay.